And now, Baker Orchards at Centuria presents Sandra, the plant lady and the plant rant. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, everyone. Yes, so I had my last shift at the orchard, and it's really fun getting ready for winter there because I'm sure some of you see the white paint on the southwest side of trees. So it's basically like sunscreen. So I went through literally the entire orchard and all the apple trees that are also on the grounds out front as well, and put their sunscreen on to get them all ready for winter. And then we do a little critter control as well. So I got to walk through the whole orchard and literally touch every tree and say goodbye for the winter. So that's always kind of fun. So yes, thank you, Baker Orchard, for sponsoring. I don't really have much on community calendar today. I have been putting a few things like Abrahamson's. When they have events, they are underwriters. Thank you, Abrahamson's Nursery. So I have events of theirs on our Facebook page if you're interested in knowing what they have going on. And
speaking of Abrahamson's, the Food Alliance has a winter market on Sunday there.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. At St. Croix Falls or in Scandia, do you know?
St. Croix Falls.
St. Croix Falls, great. Yeah. So who's speaking? This is Lars. So Becky from Be Well had another commitment today, and she will be on in January. But, you know, we just go with the flow here at Plant Rant. So good morning, Lars. Lars is here today to talk about mushrooms. And do you have the timing on that Food Alliance event?
Ooh.
Or know what's kind of going on? Can you want to?
So we do have to say it's calendar. Like 10 to 1, but...
And what are they going to do there?
It's just a winter market, so a bunch of local vendors will be
slinging. Oh, so things will be available. Oh, excellent. Yep. Okay, fun. So, good morning. So, mushrooms, morning. How did you get into... So, you actually grow mushrooms,
yeah, so
edible mushrooms?
Yeah, so I'm the production manager over at Northwoods Mushrooms. I had kind of a roundabout way to mushroom farming. I actually started farming in orcharding, and so I actually got really interested in mushrooms and sort of the soil fungal cycle as a result of, you know, looking into perennial crops. And then when we moved out here to start our farm, my wife and I was looking for work in farming because I really like moving stuff through space and talking to plants and fungi. I saw Northwoods was hiring a production manager, and I'd always been sort of fascinated by mushroom cultivation. So, I started there about a year ago now. Last
and where
December.
Are they located?
We're over in Clayton.
Okay, yeah, great.
Yep.
So neighbors.
Neighbors, it's nice, easy to commute from Little Falls to Clayton. It's an interesting spot. We do both indoor and outdoor, so log grown as well as block grown, and it's a unique farming job in that we're farming year round because of the indoor operation and because so much of the sort of inoculation and the logging for the log grown season happens actually during the winter. Jeremy, who's the owner-operator there, has been hard at work out getting logs, and we're starting to gear up for inoculation and just keeping the indoor grow rooms full and fruiting.
So for people who don't know inoculation, would you like to explain that to folks?
Yeah, so what we eat as mushrooms is actually sort of the fruit, and the actual organism in a mushroom is all of those little kind of threads of rot you might find in an old log or something if you're out walking in the woods. So inoculation is basically for cultivating a specific variety of mushroom instead of just a hodgepodge like you might find in the woods. We sterilize the substrate. So for outdoor growing, that's a fresh cut log that hasn't had any opportunity to have other fungal colonizers show up. For indoor, that's usually a like steam pasteurized packet of grain and sawdust.
Sure, that they can grow on. And then inoculating, you're taking the spores of the mushrooms and literally injecting them into whatever substrate that you're growing
exactly.
In.
So yeah, with the outdoor stuff, we're drilling holes in the logs and then plugging the holes with little sort of pre-colonized mycelium.
Oh, cool.
And then waxing or capping them over so that nothing else gets in. And sort of, so like the logs we're inoculating this season, their main fruiting years are actually going to be 2025 and 26.
Oh, wow. So you're really having to plan out. And then that's a lot of space.
Yeah.
So you're really, in the production, then you're going to have to figure out your growth cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have this whole area that's dedicated for something that's actually going to be a year, however you look at it, a year and a half.
Yeah, so if you ever come visit the farm, what the log grown operation looks like is it's basically a giant shade structure on the side of a hill, and then we stack up, it's 40 log stacks, so four logs by four logs stacked eight high, and that's how we hold it. And so it's like we move them around all summer for forced fruiting and putting them through the high tunnel so that we can have consistent production. And yeah, it's about a 2-ton stack, each one of those.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
Like an acre and a half or 2 acres of just...
Are you using a bobcat?
Ton, 2,000 pounds.
Then you're using some kind of equipment that's...
Yeah, we've got a skid steer with some like cages. And so what the outdoor production schedule looks like is, we've got 6 stacks, say, that we want to force fruit. So we've got these big force fruiting soak tanks. And we hand load these crib stacks, we call them, into cages that kind of rack onto the skid steer loader. And then we drive them up, we sink them for about 24 hours. Then we pull them out, pull them to the side of the high tunnel we use for fruiting, roll up the sides, load them in so that they're easy to pick. Keep them covered in wool blankets for about a week after that, and spray the wool blankets to keep a high moisture content in there. And then we go through and we pick them for about a week and then move them down the hill and get the next batch through.
So to get them force fruited, so you're soaking them in water to get that initial hydration.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're moving them to a space. Are you controlling, is this a climate controlled where you're controlling the temperature? Or is that wool blanket just kind of keeping it?
The wool blanket is keeping it dark and enabling us to trap moisture in, basically.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do, I mean, kind of like any farming, we're sort of trying to trick our partners there
right.
into thinking it's fall. Because that's when most mushroom fruiting cycles will happen. And the biggest thing in fall that really triggers the mushrooms to fruit is temperature swings.
Okay.
And that leads to really high humidity.
So the temperature swing over the photo period then?
The
light cycle?
Well, so the temperature swing is actually, we're not mimicking that precisely.
Okay.
When we're doing production in the summer, but we are keeping a really high moisture content that basically could never exist naturally outside of that temperature swing. Because what the, fall is our biggest fruiting time, and what really happens in the fall from the mushroom's perspective is when it's 70 degrees in the day and it's like 30 overnight, a ton of the moisture vapor of the warm days will condense overnight and lead to really wet environments. And so we're kind of, all through the summer, we're trying to trick the logs into sort of having the right moisture period to fruit. And then fall comes and we have more mushrooms than we can possibly fit in our cooler for like 6 weeks. And are just scrambling to, process into value adds. We have a bunch of pâtés and butters. We dry mushrooms, so anything that's kind of extra and left over will dry. So we sell dried mushrooms as well throughout the winter. And then, of course, the sort of indoor grow environment, that's just cooking all year round. So that's climate controlled.
And is that indoor space like a greenhouse style, or you want it dark, so is it a basement? How's the indoor setup?
We have 2 grow rooms indoors. They're basically just rooms. It's not a ton of, we don't want them too bright, so they've got north facing windows. We build a little sort of automated humidifier rig.
Okay.
So we have a humidity controller basically hooked up into the room to a little humidifier that takes fresh air from outside and blows it through the humidifier, and it is keeping the rooms between like 90 and 95 degrees humidity. Yeah,
I want to go in there.
Mushrooms like to sweat. We're sort of always keeping there, and then we've got, you know, temperature control in there. But it's not too hard because basically the conditions we're looking for in the indoor rooms is 65 degrees or thereabouts. You know, there's a deviation on either side, temperature, and then 90 to 95 humidity. So the humidity is hard. Temperature, we also as humans like kind of in there. So we're already keeping our pack room close to, you know, 69, 70, so it's not too far off. It gets a little challenging in the winter because of the sort of temperature relationship between humidity and temperature. So our north wall, for example, in one of our rooms gets super cold in the winter, and a 5-degree swing in temperature might be like a 10-degree swing in relative humidity, because the relative part of that humidity measurement is temperature. So basically, colder temps, you get more water vapor in the air.
This is such a great science lesson. This is so interesting. Yeah. I love this.
Yep.
And people, I think, you know, we just grab food off the shelf, right? And don't think
a lot
of
that
everything.
Goes into it. Yeah.
So what varieties are available? What are you all growing there?
Our main log-grown variety, we've got a couple of log-grown ones, but our main log-grown one is shiitake. If you've never had a log-grown shiitake, the quality is just on another level from the indoor. So that's kind of our bread and butter of the outdoor season. But we're also growing black poplar. We grow a lot of lion's mane, oyster, black pearl, which is like an oyster variant. And chestnut mushroom.
Wow. I haven't even heard of some of those.
Yeah. You got to come by sometime.
I would like to.
Yeah,
and then where do people, are you selling off the farm? Are you selling to distributors? Like, who are your buyers?
Yeah. So our main, we have sort of a delivery route that goes through, a lot of the co-ops in the Twin Cities right now. And then we sell off of the farm. So because, we're a pretty small mushroom operation, and one of the things we do differently is we pick twice a day. So we're actually going through and finding only the mushrooms that are mature.
Hand selecting them out. I love that.
And so, you know, we consider it a premium product. It takes a lot of labor. But as a result, we're there, you know, 8 to 4 Monday through Saturday. So we love it when people stop by, want to see the place.
How do they find you? Do you know the address off the top, or otherwise look up Northwoods Mushrooms?
Northwoods Mushrooms comes up if you look it up. I don't know the, I just, you know.
We have technology at our fingertips.
Feel. Yeah.
So you have a store and people, because you mentioned products like the dried and the butter and then
absolutely.
If people are new to cooking with mushrooms, or say like never had a lion's mane before, they've just been eating buttons, do you have recommendations? Like their recipes or things for people to get started?
Yeah, so northwoodsmushrooms.com I'm pretty sure is the website.
I'm gonna look that
and
up right
that
now.
Actually has a sort of almost a daunting assortment of different recipes on it.
So
there's a lot of recipe ideas there. My biggest passion for cooking with mushrooms is you gotta sweat them.
So explain what that means.
So I really like when I'm cooking with mushrooms, I like to put the mushrooms in the pan before anything else with just some salt and no oil or anything. And just sort of almost toast the outside on like a lower heat.
Okay.
And that just helps drive some of the moisture out, and you avoid getting that like really, really slimy.
Yeah, and they get so liquidy. Like,
yeah,
I like to put them
so
on
liquidy.
Pizzas, and then you've got this layer of like water. So I could do that first.
Yeah. So I really like, and that depends on the variety. You know, some varieties are drier or wetter than others. Yeah, I'm a big fan of, you know, I talk to people about mushrooms, obviously, a fair amount these days. And a lot of times the feedback I get is, oh, they're so slimy. Like, I don't like the texture. They're slimy and weird. And a big part of that, you can sort of step around if you just know the tricks to cooking them right.
So yeah, that is a great tip, because that is part of it with that. So get some of that moisture out first, then add your oil or add it to your other food or whatever that you're
doing. So yeah, like when I'm making a mushroom risotto, I'll toast the mushrooms first, and then I'll add the oil and the alliums, you know, the onions or garlic or whatever I'm using, which, you know, it's hard to remember because my default is always alliums and oil in first.
But. Right on. Yes, I know. I'm with you on that. So Northwoods Mushrooms, 827 15th Street in Clayton.
Yeah.
They do offer seasonal tours. You can't just go and do a tour. That needs to be something that's organized. There is online shopping as well. So if you want to go online, northwoodsmushrooms.com. There's a lot of history on here, online shopping. You can contact them if you'd like. And there's a map as well. So, and then a phone number, 612-205-8599. I'm guessing that's Jeremy's cell phone, probably. Okay.
He's the guy you're going to want to go through.
So
I'm just the schmuck who has to move the logs around, you know?
And they do the farmer's market at Mill City, which is in Minneapolis, on Saturdays from 10 to 1. There, you also offer a CSA. So if...
So we have a CSA, actually I would say the biggest, one of our biggest sort of markets for, we do CSA add-ons with a lot of local farms.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. So we're delivering.
Feel free to mention those who you collaborate with too.
Oh, boy, I'm afraid I would leave somebody out, but it's a bunch of, you know, Foxtail, Blackbrook, Turnip Rock. At least there's some of the local ones. Some other folks across the river as well. But, so we do a ton of, which is kind of, it's kind of fun for me. I've worked on a lot of CSA farms before, and it's kind of fun to work on be able to sort of be a part of a number of different farms growing seasons, even in that little way.
Well, Lars, you and I actually met. So Whetstone Farm does their community dinners once a month. And then in the fall and October, they do a big, they're kind of their sheep harvest party. Mm-hmm. And that's actually where you and I originally met. And we started talking about plant rant. And then you binged listened. And now here we are together. But we are so blessed in this community to have such a great group of people, and that everyone collaborates. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that it's not a competitive situation, that everyone wants to work together and promote and help each other out.
Yeah, there's rich ecosystem of local producers, and it's definitely one of the reasons my wife and I moved here in October of 21. And, you know, we want a farm, and so we were kind of looking around. We just sort of ended up here by chance because I worked at Blackbrook with Chris Burkhouse.
Okay.
And got to know her pretty well, and really fell in love with the area. And I mean, the biggest selling point for us has been just how rich and sort of unique that this little local ecosystem is for the people that are here, you know, and all the businesses. So we like it here. We don't want to go anywhere.
Yay. Well, thank you. That is kudos to our community. And I do have listeners that are outside of the area. And I have one who has told me more than one time that when she listens to the show, it makes her want to move here.
Yeah.
That when we promote our community. And you would ask me before.
Amory is hot right now.
Before we started,
get in on it.
If we would have multiple people here. When Jason was still here with Steady Hand Farm, he was really always trying to get in and get like a group of growers together. So maybe that's something we can still
absolutely
make happen.
A round table.
Yes.
Do you guys have enough microphones?
Well, we're loud enough, probably. We'll be okay. We make things work. So when I asked you varieties, it seemed like that was mainly the log varietals. What are your indoor varietals that you're growing in that substrate?
Those were actually mostly the indoor varieties.
Oh, those were the indoor. Okay, I misheard then.
And we grow shiitake indoors and outdoors. We're having some hiccups right now with our suppliers for indoor production.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. You get your own Spores. I don't know where to describe a cow plant.
Right now, we mostly work with field and forest for substrate. So we don't have a clean room at the farm, so we're not doing our own pasteurization and inoculation.
Sure. So you're buying them pre.
We're buying blocks in from Field and Forest, which is a farm in eastern Wisconsin.
Oh, good.
And they're a really cool operation. If you are more interested in mushrooms ever, they run some cool classes out there, actually.
Okay.
If you ever, you know, want to start your own mushroom farm or level up your production in your backyard.
Well, an indoor, I've done those boxes before, and it is like magic. It is so weird.
Yeah. It just looks cool. Like a goofy block, and then all of a sudden it's just like whoosh, covered in mushrooms. So yeah, we mostly work with Field and Forest. We had another supplier, and they like have been switching up their location and their processes, so they've been very inconsistent lately. So mostly we work with Field and Forest. We really like them. They're also farm-based, which is, we're an indoor-outdoor operation, but broadly the industry is usually indoor or mostly outdoor, and there's less and less of the outdoor stuff because nobody likes moving tons stacks right. of logs every day. When you do it day after day after day, it gets tired. And so, yeah, it's kind of, they have a really, really good setup for log grown in Japan. It's one of the places that we always look to when we're looking at a new incubation process.
Do you get to
right
go
now.
There? I think you need a, Jeremy, I think that your staff needs a field trip.
Jeremy, if you're listening, we all need an all expenses paid trip to Japan ASAP.
I mean, it's in the best interest of the business.
Yes, of course, of course. For the business. But yeah, so we're looking at, for example, a new incubation technique in a build-out that we're finishing on the farm right now. And that would basically enable us to use this year's logs for this year's production. So it would speed up our production cycle by almost a whole year.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, that's huge.
Because, yeah, I mean, we had it was a hard season this season just because mushrooms are so moisture dependent that when we have a dry year, it's hard to, and it's not even just the fruiting process, because obviously we have the soak tanks for that.
Right.
But it's the whole process of colonization. So on the log, you have all these little kind of pinpricks where we've inoculated it. But in order for that to be a good fruiting log, all of those pinpricks basically have to meet up in the middle of the log and join forces and colonize the whole log.
Oh, so they're a community too.
They're a community too, yeah. So what happens is, you know, the last 3 years, for example, rain hasn't been quite as consistent. Mm-hmm. You know, if anybody's been working in their garden, I think they could speak to that. And so what we were finding this year is a lot of logs weren't as far along as we would have liked. So we've got some. We just set up irrigation in the shade structure.
Right, just try to trick
so
Mother
we'll be
Nature.
Able to get water on the logs more often. But essentially, mushrooms are so moisture dependent that they won't fruit if there's not moisture, but they won't really colonize the substrate. Basically, below a certain moisture threshold, the whole organism almost goes dormant. And so it's really slow to move if it's too dry.
But in nature, think of what a survival technique that is. That's for the great. Mushroom. But for you, trying to control the environment, and now you have another input.
Yeah, we're trying to trick
the mushrooms.
Because
if you're running water and running pumps and all of that, mm-hmm. now you've just added to your inputs and your expenses and all of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we just finished.
In time.
It's not insulated yet, but we just finished an addition to our pack shed. And when we get that insulated, we're hoping that we'll be able to switch to a more intensive incubation technique where we'll keep that climate controlled. We'll stack up all the logs right after we inoculate them, and we'll keep them under tarps and basically monitor the conditions under the tarps to make sure that they're fully colonized before we even take them out to the yard, as it were,
sure.
the field. So yeah, there's that's the thing that I really fall in love with about mushroom production is it's just like it's just like science project after science project after science.
It like, sounds like yeah, and you're I just love like, it.
You're troubleshooting all the time, but it's always kind of a new thing to troubleshoot, and you can always get things a little tighter and a little better, and have a better relationship with your mushroom. My coworker Yvonne makes fun of me because sometimes I call the mushrooms our coworkers. But it really is. I mean, it's like all agriculture. We're basically like making a bargain with these organisms that if we take care of their needs, right, they'll take care of ours, right?
You're the steward of them.
And so, yeah, they have weird needs, like really sweaty rooms. But it's a fun field.
Well, and it sounds like, too, for you, like, you're always learning, always experimenting. Like, you won't get bored at work, right? I mean, mm-hmm. And I know sometimes the labor can get monotonous with this type of work. But, like, mentally, it sounds like you'd be pretty much, like, pretty mentally stimulating.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a little experiment notebook that I get to write.
Yeah, fun.
We were doing experiments and just keeping track in our heads, and eventually we were like, okay, we should probably...
Yeah,
write some of these down. Yes. Yeah. Because it's just always tinkering, and it's incredible. Even within our grow rooms, which are not very large, like I think most people would be surprised by how small the rooms are, given how many pounds of mushrooms we pull out of them every week. If you've done a home kit, you probably can.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Imagine a 6-foot shelf of just full of those.
Right.
You can get a lot of mushrooms out of a pretty small space. But even within that space, like, there's actually no standard climate, right? Like a lower shelf has a totally different... mushrooms will respond really differently if they're on a lower shelf versus a higher shelf, because heat rises,
yes,
which means humidity falls, basically. Like, lower shelves are universally across our grow rooms colder and wetter. And then, the humidifier is at one end, and the air outtake that blows out the back is at the other end. So there's always sort of a steady gradient across the room of wet to dry. And so a lot of what we've been doing to kind of finesse our production in those indoor spaces is finding out which mushrooms like which microclimate.
Right on.
Better.
Work with what you've got. If one prefers it cooler or less moist, and then you can make, versus having this constant rotation of trying to get everybody.
So we've had
in
more success kind of putting the right variety in the right spot than we have with trying to, force the whole room to be the same, because we just still haven't figured out a way to get heat to not rise.
Well, right, yeah. Well, yeah,
and
I guess
humidity to not fall,
Band pushing it down. And
Yeah,
I think you've explained relative humidity better than I've ever heard it explained before, so I appreciate
this
that.
Is all, I learned this it. All in the last year working with mushrooms. I didn't know anything about relative humidity before.
And it makes the language make a lot more, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I guess if you think about it. I do have one question, I'm going to circle back.
Yes.
Where are the logs coming from?
So basically Jeremy will just call different landowners. So it's people who want a woodlot managed. He has, there's some specificity to, mostly it's a hardwood or a softwood thing.
Okay, yeah.
There's some mushrooms that grow better on one or the other.
Sure.
So he does his own logging because he's looking for a pretty specific diameter of tree.
All right. And for our listeners, if anyone... is interested, they can...
If you've got a woodlot and you want tasteful, selective cutting and management, reach out to Jeremy. I think he pretty much is set for this season, but it's one of those things that's really relational in that, you have to... You have to sort of just find it. There's not industry for it. It's very expensive to ship 4-foot. Cuts of logs.
Right on. Well, that's why I was curious, like, okay, how much land do you all have there to be harvesting at home, or how is he finding it? Because I was kind of wondering, like, is there a market for people for logs?
Yeah, so he talks to landowners, meets up with them, talks about what cuts he would want and whether or not it's a good fit. And,
sure. Yeah. I'm going to give that number one more time, 612-205 8599. So Northwoods Mushrooms, thank you, Lars, for coming in today.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jeremy, for letting him come in late so he could come here on his way to work. I really appreciate it. This was so fun. Actually, I can't wait to listen to the archives. So WPCARadio.org. Luann usually gets the archives up by Monday, and it runs oldest to newest, so it'll be at the bottom there. But you can find it, because this was a lot of information, and I actually do listen. I re-listen to the shows so that I can really absorb it all. Yes,
here.
Exactly. Yeah, well, we'll have you on again. We'll get some of the other farmers.
Absolutely.
And,
It would be great to have on again.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Baker Orchard, for sponsoring Plant Rant.